John 20, 25 through 29, mainly John 20, verses 25 through 29. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you. We need you in this world that is so crazy. Let us lean on you. Thank you that you are an anchor in the craziness of this world, that you give us peace, strength, and joy. Thank you that our eyes and our hearts and our devotions are towards you, Lord. Thank you for your anointing and your will being done in this service. And don't let anybody leave here the same way they came in. Thank you for refreshing, energizing, and exciting us and equipping us for what you would have us do. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. So in our text this morning, we have Thomas. Well, we'll go back. It's Easter Sunday. Thomas is not around. The other disciples, the 10, because Judas is no longer part of the picture, the 10 are hiding out behind locked doors, and we can understand that. They just saw their teacher, their rabbi, arrested, and they know that he was crucified, and so they're freaking out. They're scared. They're hiding out in fear of the Jews. That's what the text says. That's what scripture says. But then that Easter evening, Jesus appears to them and talks with them. But there's just one tiny little problem. Thomas didn't happen to be there at that time. And then Thomas shows up and everybody's all excited. So imagine these days leading up to this Easter evening, how discouraged and fearful and anxious the disciples must have been. And then all of a sudden, here comes Thomas walking up to the door of the room, and he hears all this commotion on the other side of the door. Knock, 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 opens it up, whatever, unlock the door. Everybody's just, "Thomas, man, you just missed it, bro. You just missed it. The Lord was here." That's where we're at, okay? John 20, 25. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." And we got to stop there because it's very interesting and it jumps right out at me. And I've read this countless times. I don't know how many times I've read this passage or this group of scriptures, but this time it just jumped out at me. They don't say, "Hey, Thomas, we just saw Jesus. Thomas, we just saw the rabbi. Thomas, we just seen the teacher. We just seen the miracle worker. We just seen Jesus." Nope. They say, "We have seen the Lord." See, they get it now. They get it. Now, don't get me wrong. They don't understand the mission yet. They don't quite understand what Jesus is there to do. They're still thinking, well, now that Jesus is back, now maybe it's time to kick out those Romans. They're still kind of thinking on that level. And you'll see that if you continue reading, you know, but they got this much. This is the Lord. Because see, when Jesus said these things about himself, well, what did he say about himself? Look at Matthew 20, 17 and verse 17. Let's go to the next slide. Matthew 20, 17 through 19. This is one of at least three times when Jesus Christ, before he goes to the cross, is extremely detailed on what is awaiting him. So when he says these things are going to happen, that's one thing to say something's going to happen and then it does not happen. You're going to get a witness. But he said these things are going to happen and they happened exactly how he said it was going to happen. So, okay, Okay, what I'm trying to say, if Jesus said, I'm going to the cross, and he goes to the cross, and he says, in 3 days, I'll raise from the dead, and he doesn't raise from the dead, guess what? He wasn't who he said he was. But he did raise from the dead. Okay, so let's look at this. Matthew 20, 17 and 19, 17 through 19. And Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. He took the 12 disciples aside, and on the way he said to them, see, we are going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man, check this out. This is all well before, this is before it happens. And the Son of Man, he's talking about himself, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Well, yeah, everybody already knew that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, these guys right here, they weren't big fans of Jesus Christ. But keep going, okay? And it, by the way, that's exactly what happens. Remember in the garden, he gets arrested by these guys? Delivered over to the chief priests, the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Now check this out. And deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. Well, you know what? That's exactly what happened to him, right? To be mocked, flogged, and crucified. Now here, check this out. And he will be raised on the third day. So like I said, at least three times, in great detail, Jesus points this out. Now, he says he's going to be handed over and be persecuted more than three times, but at least in these three times, he says, this is how this is going to play out, but I will be back, okay? So, look at John 14 and verse 29. Now, why did Jesus tell them this before it happened? Why did Jesus tell them these things in such amazing detail before it happened? John 14 and verse 29. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. Jesus said, I'm telling you this stuff, and you're not going to get it now. You're not going to get it now. Matter of fact, it's going right over your head. But there will be a time and there will be a place when it clicks, and you'll be like, he told us this was going to happen. And it happened exactly how he said. And Jesus said, I'm telling you this so you will believe. When it happens, when you see me in that room with you guys, you will believe I am who I said I am. You will know that I keep my word. In other words, I'm not just Jesus. I'm not just your teacher. I'm not just a prophet. I'm not just a miracle worker. I am God in the flesh. Amen. Can I get a witness? John 14, 29. And now I've told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. Yeah. So, you know, I'm a huge fan of scripture, obviously. And one of the things I really, really love about scripture, this precious book, it makes all these amazing predictions. It makes all these amazing promises. And guess what? God is 100% correct and accurate with everything he promises. So you do have that faith. You do have all this evidence to activate your faith and say, Jesus is the Son of God. It's right there. Can I get a witness? All you got to do is dig. It's there if you want it. Okay. Praise the Lord. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Let's see where we're at here. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. You ever think, well, Thomas, that's kind of gross. A little bit, you know. When I read that, I'm like, yeah, okay, well, whatever. But see, Thomas feels like he's been let down. You know, you ever felt like that? You ever felt like your world's just got turned upside down on you? That's what's been going on with Thomas. And up until this moment, he at least was on the same page with the other 10 disciples. They were all, you know, in the mully grubs. They were all depressed. They were all stressed out. They were all anxious. They were all scared. But now Thomas doesn't even have that. Everybody else is just fired up, man. We just saw the Lord, man. We just saw Jesus. Thomas, I'm sorry, but you missed it. And Thomas is not taking them at their word. And for so long, I've been like, Thomas, why would you not believe these guys? Why would you not believe? I mean, it's not just one dude and the other handful are saying, I don't know. maybe that was, no, they are adamant. We just saw the Lord. But before we're too hard on Tom, you know, look at how devoted Thomas was to Jesus Christ before the cross. When they were on their way going back to Jerusalem or toward Jerusalem, none of the other disciples wanted to go. And Thomas said, let's go with the Lord. Let's go with Jesus. His destiny is our destiny. Let's go back to Bethany. Let's go see Lazarus. So he was fired up. He was devoted to Jesus. But you know what? Things didn't work out at this moment. Things weren't working out the way he thought they were going to work out. So 3 years, a little over 3 years, he had devoted himself like everybody else to this guy's teaching and his way of life. And he knew that when they rolled into Jerusalem, especially in that triumphal entry, when everybody was laying down those branches and putting their cloaks on the ground, and here comes Jesus into town, and everybody's saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know, Thomas and Peter and John and James, they had to be fired up, man. This is it. These 3 years are about to pay off, man. This is so awesome. And then boom, within a couple of days, world completely turned upside down. And the weight of this doesn't matter what anybody else is saying to Thomas. He was in the garden when they arrested Jesus. He knows what happens on a Roman cross. You don't get down from a Roman cross. He knew all this, and this was weighing on him. Sometimes life will get that way. You know what I mean? But see, this is what Scripture tells us. This is what Paul says. 2 Corinthians 5:7, it's right there on your monitor. 2 Corinthians 5:7, this is a takeaway verse. What I mean by that is this is something that you want to grab a hold of and keep it close to your hearts. Can I get a witness? 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That's the Christian life right there. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Or Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord. This isn't on your bulletin. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. These are our marching orders from our Lord and Savior. And he says, just trust in me. Don't let life deceive you. Don't let the traumas that you've went through steal your joy and your peace. Can I get a witness? Now let's go to the next slide. I'm gonna take a drink of this delicious water. I love you guys. Yeah, So before we're too hard on Tom, you know, look at the other 10 disciples. Let's go back. So Easter evening, Jesus appears before them and they're all stoked. They're all fired up. Thomas comes in like, hey, we saw the Lord. We saw him. He was here. But think about this. Before that, the women early that morning, Easter morning, they went to the tomb. They saw angels. The women saw angels, and the angels said, look, Jesus ain't here. He's risen from the dead. They go back. Even Mary Magdalene sees the risen Jesus Christ in the garden. And these ladies go to the apostles who are the disciples, who are hiding out. Think about this. They're hiding out of fear. Can't blame them for that, really, right? These ladies say, guess what? He's alive. He's alive. Jesus is alive. Mary Magdalene's like, yeah, the tomb's not just empty. I saw him, and he's got a message for you, and he's got a message for you, Peter. And you know what? They don't get it. They don't believe it. They do not believe it. And these ladies are just as adamant as these 10 disciples are going to be. So we can't really be so hard on Tom, can we? So here's Thomas, and he's like, unless I can not just see it, but I got to touch it, man. I got to put my, Anyways, John, I don't know. John 20 and verse 26, here we go. 8 days later. So a whole week goes by, and Thomas is like just having the worst week ever. You know, his friends, his closest companions are all having delusions in his mind. They saw something. I know they saw something, you know, but they didn't see Jesus. His world was just weighing too much on him. Life was just weighing too much on him. Okay, and what do we do when we're in those situations? We live by faith, not by sight. Can I get a witness? John 20, in verse, what I'm saying is trusting God's word above all, listen, trusting God's word above all else. The newspaper says this. The newsman says this. Fill in the blank of whatever. Well, put it up against what God says. Let God be true and every man a liar. Okay, because God wants us to have peace in this crazy world. It's very important that God's people have peace, even if your world, even if our world gets turned upside down like Thomas's world, God wants us to have peace. Can I get a witness? 8 days later, you know that had to be a tough week on Thomas. 8 days later, his disciples, Jesus' disciples, were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Think about that. Peace be with you. Jesus makes this precious, special trip for Thomas. Okay, now he says, peace be with you. Obviously, he's saying, peace be with you, because all of a sudden Jesus appears in the middle of this room, and that would be extremely shocking and scary, right? All right, we got a little glimpse of what the glorified body is going to be like, okay? Here he is. He appears before them, but this is what I want to talk about for the next couple minutes. He says, peace be with you. When your world is crazy, God wants you to have peace. When nothing else is making sense, when everything is different than what it was a year ago in your life, God wants you to have peace. He died for you to have peace. He rose from the dead. Okay, let me say it like this, Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. He wants us to have peace. Can I get a witness? Okay, so although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. God wants us to have peace. Look with me at Philippians 4 real fast. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And this is something that's very familiar to us here at Victory Life Church. And we've preached entire sermons going around these two verses right here. So we're not going to camp on it too long. But it's so important that God tells us over and over again, I want my children to have peace. Okay? Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I'm with you. He wants us to have peace. So let's look at Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Okay, there's absolutely no wiggle room right there. Well, God, did you see what they're doing to the soil? God, have you heard about what they're doing over here in the Panama Canal? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. So first of all, he says, don't be stressed out. Don't be anxious. People are counting on you. Okay, don't be stressed out. Now do this. This is the vehicle I got. You take a prayer and you give it to me, man. You give me your burden, whatever it is. You give it to me. You pray it out. How do I pray? Just talk to God, man. Talk to God. Talk to God. Give him your burden. And he says right here, I'm going to give you peace. What it is doing when I'm giving my burden to God, I'm saying, God, this is bigger than me. This is something that I can't quite do on my own. And sometimes that's really tough for us, right? Right? Florida people, right? That's kind of tough. Americans, right? Sometimes there's things that we got to realize, I got to give this to God. Because it's killing me. It's destroying me, man. I can't live like this. But see, when I give it to God, through prayer, with a thankful heart. Why is a thankful heart important? Man, don't forget what God did for you in the past. Don't forget his goodness. You say, well, God ain't never done that. Well, you're wrong. He's done plenty for you. I'll give you two real fast that you can hang on to. If you can't grab anything else, and I know you can. I know you can, because he has been good and faithful to you. You're alive. You exist. You exist. You didn't have to exist, but he gave you this wonderful opportunity to live on earth and be used by him. So here you are, you exist, and he knew you were going to mess up. So he sent his son to die for you so you can be forgiven. You know what I mean? So a thankful heart, I'm going to give my petition, I'm going to give my burden to God, and he's going to give me peace. Peace that transcends all understanding, that people are like, man, I don't get it. I don't understand why Sister Rachel or Sister Claudia or Brother Rick or Brother Josh are calm, cool, and collected. Well, I'll tell you why, because they're giving it to God. Can I get a witness? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I like that picture of God kind of running interference like a goalkeeper saying, no, my son's going to have peace. Anyways, when your world is falling apart, Jesus wants you to have peace. He appears and he says, peace be with you. Everything's cool, guys. And here's something that is so important to me. You know, let's look at the three Hebrew children real fast, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These guys refused to bow down and worship the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar gave them a couple times, you know, hey, look, guys, go ahead and just bow down to this statue. Go ahead and do it. They wouldn't do it because of the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. They wouldn't do it. They were making a stand. So they got thrown into this fiery furnace. But these three Hebrew children, listen to me, these three Hebrew children, as they were in the fiery furnace, they weren't alone. They were not alone. This is a major peace giver right here for you. They weren't alone. Jesus Christ was with them in the fiery furnace, right? Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. There was an angel. God gives himself to us in our hardest times. Can I get a witness? He will not leave us alone. Okay, so yeah, he says, look, don't even entertain this stuff. You give it to me through prayer, and I'm going to give you peace. And then we grab a hold of his promises, man. Look at this, Psalm 34 and 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Now, that might not mean anything at all to you right now, but it might be so important to you, you know, down the road. It might have been something that got you through the toughest days of your life a while back. You know what I'm saying? I'm not alone through this trial, through this storm, through my world getting tipped upside down. I'm not alone. God is with me. The sovereign God, creator of the universe, says I am close to the brokenhearted. He sticks closer to you than a brother. He is like born for adversity. This is what he's made for, man. You know, when you're going through a hard time, it doesn't matter how cool or popular or hip, man, he's there for you. Can I get a witness? God is good. Give the Lord some praise. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. That's such a powerful verse. You know, okay, so if you want to analyze it with me for a second, he saves the crushed in spirit. So in other words, he's not promising that you won't ever have a crushed spirit. He's not ever promising that your life's going to be completely perfect and pain-free. He never makes that claim. But he does. He is saying when your world gets tipped upside down, when all the things you put your trust in for all these years are no longer there and you're grasping for something that looks like you're sinking, you know, hold on to that rock. You know, look at what God says. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He's close to me. He's with me. But he's not just with me. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed spirit. What a wonderful and amazing promise we have. Well, let's go to the next slide, I believe. Yeah, let's go to the next slide. Everybody doing all right? John 20, 27. So here's the deal, man. Jesus appears in front of all the disciples, and Thomas is here this time. John 20, 27. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. I find it very interesting. I mean, you can imagine Thomas being like, no, that's cool. I don't have to do that anymore. Yeah, it's cool, Jesus. I see. I could see it. I see the, got it. Yeah. And Jesus is like, no, Thomas, here you go.
Do it.
Yeah. But he's not belittling Thomas. He's not talking down to Thomas. He knows what Thomas needs. He knows exactly what Thomas needs. He knows what the other disciples need. He knows what Thomas needs. Okay. So as we look at your unique situation, whatever that might be, okay, you are not alone. God is with you. God cares about you. He says, don't hold on to these burdens. And he wants you to understand that he knows and understands your unique situation. You can look at your situation and, you know, I know how it's like sometimes, like no one's ever had to, well, probably that's not true at all. You know, no one's ever been through this exact same thing. Maybe, maybe not, probably not. But it feels like this is the thing that's crushing you. And you can feel so alone sometimes. Does that make sense? Like nobody quite gets this, what I'm going through. This is my pain, right? Well, okay, so here's the deal. Jesus Christ knows what you're going through. He knows, don't forget, he lived here 33 years. And so 30 of those years, he was dealing with life, going through everything just like me and you. Before he started his ministry, he knows exactly how you feel. Can I get a witness? So he knows your unique situation and he cares about your unique situation. Look at Isaiah 40 and verse 11. Now, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. Sometimes it's perfectly cool to be part of the flock, man. You know, I'm just with everybody else. I'm just soaking up the word. And then boom, that crazy thing happens or that whatever hits you. And sometimes you just need to be held by the shepherd. Hold close to his heart and he'll hear his heartbeat with your ears. You know what I mean? So, and whatever you're going through, whatever is needed is what I'm trying to say. Jesus is the answer. And I get a witness. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. Listen to this if you're hurting. He will carry them in his bosom, or the NLT, close to his heart. Think about that, man. We're all the sheep of his pasture, man. But when you're going through it, he says, come here, I'm close to you. Let me heal your broken heart. I know you're crushed in spirit. And he holds us close. Isn't that precious? Okay. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. That's my favorite part. You know, we can be so afraid of being left behind or something. You know, like here's the regular sheepies and here's the shepherd and here's the mama sheep and she's got all the young. But guess what? The good shepherd said, I'm not going to leave you behind. I know your situation. I know what you're going through. I got you. I'm going to be here with you. Isn't God wonderful? Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Thomas gets it now. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Yeah, Jesus isn't belittling him or ridiculing him. He's just calling it out, saying, this is what you needed, and you believe because you've seen me, just like all the other disciples, you know? But here's the deal. What do we do? What about us? Well, you know what? It's actually addressing me and you right here. This is talking to Victory Life Church. This is talking to the global church right here. Okay, so listen, because this is for you. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. See, that's us. Remember, the just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. The Christian life is a trusting in God life. Can I get a witness? Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Because, listen, we got to get to the place where it's like a natural response, man. Whatever happens, nope, I'm going to trust in God. Nope, I'm going to trust in God's word. I'm not going to give in to fear. I'm not going to give in to anxiety. I'm not going to give in to depression anymore. I'm going to trust in God's word. I'm going to see myself the way God sees me. Well, how's that going to happen? Well, we really got to get into the word. We got to stay in the word. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. the conviction of things not seen. Faith is trusting in God above all else. No, I might not have it in my hands right at this moment. No, I might not be able to see it with my eyes right at this moment, but I'm trusting what God's word said. I'm going to live by faith because that's what I've been called to do. That's what I've been called to do. And God wants his people to be strong in the Lord, right? He wants his people to be able to trust in him and have peace no matter what's going on, because don't you think a lost and dying world needs you, right? Don't you think your brothers and sisters in Christ that are really going through, that are a little shaky right now, need you, right? So the just got to live by faith. We got to trust in God's word. Amen. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9. This is so good. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him. I'll read that again. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Is that true? Do you love him this morning? Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. It's an amazing couple of verses right there. You haven't seen him, but you know he's there. You haven't seen him, but you believe in him. You haven't seen him, but you love him. And because you've put your faith in him, well, you've inherited eternal life. He's given that to you. He's given that to you because you've believed in him. Can I get a witness? But look at this. Look at the bottom of verse 8. You do not see him, yet you believe in him. Look at this. And rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. So we can have joy by putting my faith and my trust in God because I love him and he saved my soul. I'm going to put my trust in him, my faith in him. And guess what? He's not only going to give me peace, but he's going to give me joy. Don't you think the world needs to see you having joy right now? Right? Right? Okay, so not happiness. There's nothing wrong with happiness. But happiness is like, you know, it comes and goes with your situation. Yeah, I'm just so happy that the guy gave me extra French fries, and I was really hoping I'd, man, you know what? You know how much ketchup they don't give you at Hardee's, man? Right? Don't get me started on that. No, I'm playing. Like, well, I got, never mind. Not a situational thing. I can have joy no matter what I'm going through because I got my faith in a God that knows what's going to happen tomorrow, and I'm his son, and he's never going to leave me or forsake me. Can I get a witness? So I just want to encourage us this morning, man, to just trust in God no matter what. Let God be true and every man a liar. Whatever comes your way this week or next week or whatever kind of news you get, let God be true and every man a liar. Can I get a witness? You're never going to regret it. You will never regret it if you put your faith and your trust in God's promises. And don't give up. Don't give up. Yeah. Hold on to God's promises. You will not be disappointed. Father God, thank you for blessing this wonderful group of folks, Lord.